bad data equals bad everything. You know, sometimes it might sound a bit extreme, but it's actually quite true. It's the data that you're feeding the machine, as it were, needs to be good so Google can learn. And every company that spends money on Google Ads is a really big investment. You need to make sure that the analytics, or you've got someone that knows what they're doing in terms of the tracking and the tagging, and it's really important.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with the format, well, every five episodes, we focus on a different marketing method like email or SEO or Facebook ads. And each week, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. I love hearing from our listeners. So when we get a lovely mention on social, or someone emails me or DMs me on LinkedIn, I like to give them a shout out. So today, I want to say thanks to Mark Tillerson, who came back a month after release to our LinkedIn post about episode 213 with Doug Franklin from Penny Black, which is all about personalized unboxing moments, to send us this message. Successfully growing clients' businesses one click at a time through pay-per-click, SEO, and social media. Just listened. Great work, Douglas Franklin and Chloe Thomas. Gotta love that. Thank you so much, Mark. And if you'd like a shout out at the start of an episode, drop us a mention on LinkedIn or head to keepopt.com/review to find out how to leave a review. This month, we're not really about one marketing method. We're kind of about all of them because we've been exploring for the last four episodes in this one, attribution, analytics, privacy, cookies, GDPR, all that stuff you now have to get on top of. And it's been far more uplifting than you would think. Far more solutions and opportunities than problems, I think. I think we've reached that point in this sphere now. We've done an episode all about first-party cookies and first-party data and how to feed that to the right places. We've done an episode all about how to build your analytics tech stack so you're getting the right data. We've done an episode all about the email perspective, how you deal with that data, keep it legal, etc., make the most of it. We've looked at how you get attribution right and by taking control of it so you're making the right decisions. And in this episode, we're going to be getting into the Google Ads perspective of it all. So we're going to be exploring that, looking at what you need to do to get your Google Ads performance right, what you need to do to not fall foul of Google. We'll be talking consent mode, we'll be talking enhanced conversions, and we'll be talking a fair amount about first-party data and cookies too. Do make sure you listen right to the end of the episode because my guests will be sharing their quickfire insider tips to help you with all of this too. And then I'll share my take on it all and outline some other ways we can help you to improve your marketing performance even more. So stay tuned to the end. Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Amerce fixes this in just one click. The Amerce first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Amerce installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install, and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE. In this episode, I'm chatting with analytics expert Ian Lewis. Ian is the head of data and analytics at Launch, the Happy Performance Agency. And they're not just happy, they are also Google Premier Partners and twice winners of Europe's Best Small PPC Agency. Hello, Ian.
Hi, Chloe. How are you doing? You all right?
Good. As many of the listeners already know, I used to run a Google Ads agency. So this is my opportunity to geek out about Google Ads, but also remind myself that I know nothing anymore. But how did you end up in the world of analytics, Google Ads, and all this good stuff? How did you get there?
So originally from London, I moved to Bournemouth about 14 years ago and sort of start my career in marketing, as it were, and joined an agency in Bournemouth in their search and performance team. And so I started off actually as an SEO and working across multiple clients as you do at agencies. So over the past 14 years, I then moved from client side to from agency to client side. So worked actually as an analytics manager at a UK travel agency just as the pandemic hit, which was lovely, which is really good to go through. But found myself sort of full circle. So Jay, who is the founder of Launch, who's sort of building this amazing agency, got in contact a couple of years ago and said, you know, we need a measurement department and we need to build that up for our clients at the moment. So we got the talk in and the job was there for me to move into building what I think is right at this point. And, you know, every agency needs a measurement team. Every agency needs a data department. That Launch needed it, and it was sort of giving me the opportunity to do that. So always been a geek for numbers and trends and an Excel spreadsheet for sure. So I think this was perfect for me at this point.
It's fascinating. I said, you know, I used to have a Google Ads agency. That was a scary number of years ago now. But back then, the idea of, you know, it was down to the customer, the client, to give us the data.
Yeah.
It was down to them to have their analytics set up right. And it was down to them to do all these things. But it's become such a crucial part as the algorithm takes control that we've got to be feeding it the right data. Like you say, it doesn't surprise me Jay was calling you and going, right, we've got to build this in-house because this is crucial to us driving results for our clients. So we've got to build it in-house. But it's kind of mad that that's become such a crucial part.
Yeah.
And I don't think 10 years ago we'd have envisaged that, but it has become such a crucial part of driving good results, whether on Google Ads, whether you are client side or supplier side. You've got to have that whole analytics data piece, both data in and data out and reporting.
Yeah, you've got to. And we've got a saying here at Launch, especially in the measurement team, that bad data equals bad everything. And we sort of use that quite a bit. And it's, you know, sometimes it might sound a bit extreme, but it's actually quite true. It's the data that you're feeding the machine, as it were, needs to be good so Google can learn. And you know, as you know, it's just changed so much since I remember it back 14 years ago as an SEO, how Google Ads was different and everything back then. But you're right. I think every company that spends money on Google Ads, and, you know, some spend so much a month on it, is a really big investment. You need to make sure that the analytics, or you've got someone that knows what they're doing in terms of the tracking and the tagging. And it's really important.
Indeed. But we're here to talk about the privacy changes impact on all of this, which is kind of like the big thing in the sky that's pushing a lot of changes. So I think some of the stuff we're going to talk about is not necessarily as a result of privacy legislation, but it is as a result of big tech, i.e. Google in this case, making changes to how things work in order to still deliver results for us despite all the changes that are going on. So how much has all of this been shaping what you're doing day to day over the last few years? Because it feels, from my perspective as an outsider, it feels like the complexity is getting ever greater at the same time as our control gets ever less, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's so many people that are just confused about what Google are doing at the moment because it's such a changing dynamic. And this is where we sort of come in, because as a team here at Launch, we are supposed to know what the changes mean, what they're doing, and it allows us to explain to our clients and go, this is why you need it. But it's all down to privacy. It's people understanding actually that they don't have to accept a cookie banner when they land on a website. They can click reject, and they are starting to become a bit more aware of what the cookies are tracking them and where that data is going. And when you've got companies like Apple that had a much better privacy solution for their iOS for years, but they don't run Google Ads. So Google Ads was built on third-party cookies, basically. So it's very difficult for Google to shift into that realm without, you know, upsetting the apple cart slightly. And I think when you've got all of these new legislations, there's a legislation that was released at the beginning of the year called the Digital Marketers Act, which was released back in March. And it coincidentally coincided with the release of Consent Mode version 2 from Google. And, you know, as they say, that it wasn't directly part of that, you know, for them to be releasing it and giving a hard deadline that everybody needed Consent Mode version 2 by the 6th of March, which was when this legislation was passed, kind of made the figure that actually Google are making these changes because GDPR and e-privacy laws are just changing for the consumer a lot more. So there's just a lot up in the air at the moment where Google are making changes because they generally have to.
Well, and you've just mentioned probably the one Google change that everybody knows about, unless they've been hiding under a rock all year, which is the consent mode V2 one, which technically everyone was supposed to have in place by March. I'm sure if any of you are listening who haven't done it yet, get on with it. Let's just put that out there. But could you quickly explain what that is and what actions we should have taken? And then we'll go on to some of the other bits and pieces.
Yeah, definitely. I think the first thing to remember, though, is consent mode version 2 is very important because that helps feed the Google ads that you're running. It takes two new parameters, which is ad storage and personalization storage. And the key thing to remember here is if your cookie banner isn't working or it's not fit for purpose, then consent mode version 2 means nothing. So you can turn it on and follow it. But if it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, then you're not in the right position. So I think it's really important to make sure that your cookie banner is not just an image on your website. It is actually changing the cookies that you're landing on it. It understands consent mode version 2. Most of the cookie management platforms have that installed already, that you can just go in, turn on consent mode version 2, or just pick it up because they needed it. But what it does is just allows users to kind of explicitly say what consent they want to give. What it does is Google's tag will pick up your decisions of your cookie banner. What have you picked? If you go to manage preferences, have you picked which ones you want? And then it changes the tags and the reporting based on the user's selection, basically. So when you're in Google Ads, it will understand if you can be put into a remarketing audience or if you can be put as a customer match, or if it needs to take model data to understand who you are as a user rather than your explicit cookies that you've allowed. So it just helps with a lot more with what Google is trying to build within the ads platform.
It's that thing of you need to be collecting the right data, and then you've got to give that directly to Google so they can run your ads properly for you. And is it fair to say that if it's not set up, Google will just assume that all the people landing on your website are unwilling to accept any cookies, and therefore essentially nothing happens or bad things happen because there's no data going into Google Ads?
Exactly that. And it's one of the things that you might see is unassigned traffic in Google Analytics 4 is one of the things that we talk about quite a bit. Is that could increase massively because Google just won't know the data that is being collected. Consent mode set up correctly should already start with default as the main setting, as the default setting is denied. So if someone was to land on the website and then the cookie banner doesn't work, if the consent mode's already set to denied and not updated, then Google can't understand where they're coming from, the data they're coming from, not recording conversions. And this is all such valuable data that you need to feed back into Google Ads to allow for the Google Ads to run and optimize as good as it should be.
Yeah, because it's not, I think some people have thought this is just a reporting thing. No, everybody, this is how the algorithm decides how your ads are essentially functioning, where they're appearing, when they're appearing, and all those kind of good things. So basically, consent mode, A, we should already have it done because the deadline was March. And if you haven't, you should be seeing some pretty horrendous things going on in your reporting that flag that you really should have done this by now. But if we are correctly setting up our cookie banners, which we should be anyway, everybody, then this should be a fairly easy thing to integrate with Google Ads if we were doing it right in the first place. This is an easy one for people to do.
Yeah, in theory, yeah. If you've got a cookie management platform like OneTrust or CookieYes or CookieBot, for example, you should be able to go into your platform and there should be settings in there for consent mode to turn on. You may have to do some things in Google Tag Manager. So speak to your measurement analyst or someone at the agency that you use to make sure they can go in and make those logic changes if they need to. But it's pretty straightforward. It shouldn't take too long. And you can test it within Google Tag Manager's preview mode. You can test what's being set, how it's working to make sure that actually consent mode version 2 is doing what it needs to do before you put anything live.
Okay, cool. So what's the next thing to do with Google and privacy that we need to talk about, Ian? Which one do you want to tackle next?
I think enhanced conversions is really key at the moment. So I was lucky enough to go to the Google headquarters in Dublin back in March, where they did a whole measurement conference. So it was all around measurement, and they were jamming down everybody's throat enhanced conversions,
which is always a sign that it would be a good idea to get it sorted if they're shouting about it that loudly.
Exactly that. So it seems fitting that we talk about it, and I think it makes sense because what it does is it captures users that declined cookies. And it was brought in place because they were going to remove the third-party cookie, the whole talk around the death of the third-party cookie. So they needed to understand a way to track users cookie-lessly, basically. And what Enhanced Conversions does is it takes first-party data. So if I was a user and I landed on the website and I declined the cookie banner, nothing should be tracked. Then I go and purchase. But at that point I'm purchasing, I'm consenting to my data being provided. So I'm filling out the form, my first name, my email address, my address for the product to be delivered to. You know, there doesn't need to be a cookie banner to collect that. I'm giving that information to the vendor. At that point, Google is saying, we can take that first party data. We can then understand if that user is logged into Chrome or logged into YouTube or logged into Gmail or anything on the Google ecosystem. And if they are, then they've already accepted the terms and conditions of that platform. So if you're using Chrome, when you sign up, you accept that terms and conditions. And it matches the username, sorry, the email address and the mobile number to that user. And then it will be able to understand where that person's come from. And it will also be able to understand and record that conversion, which we would not have been able to get if they didn't have enhanced conversions turned on. So in Google Ads now, we're starting to see conversions that are coming through, even though cookie banner is being declined, or there's a high decline rate of the cookie banner. And it's just a way for Google to actually match those users. And that first party data, which we will talk about a little bit later on, hopefully, is that actually that first party data can be used for remarketing and customer match and all these other fancy things in Google Ads as well. So enhanced conversions help with reporting, but help with other things as well.
Got you. So this is one of those scenarios where we're taking our first party data that we've collected as a merchant, as a brand, and we're feeding it back to Google in the way Google wants to enable them to do a better job for us, both in the algorithm and in the conversion. Well, it must be. If it's doing the conversions, it's going to help with the algorithm, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly that.
So this is very similar to the Facebook ads one as well, isn't it? Because Facebook have a like server-side tracking or something, I think they call it.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. It's just a way of them trying to collect data accurately without using browser or cookies.
Easy to set up?
Enhanced conversions is very easy to set up. Yeah, absolutely. If you're collecting that data, so in Google Analytics or Google Ads, you just turn it on. It's that you just enable it, right? And then if it doesn't work correctly, it will give you an error to say, we're not picking up the email address or something. So if it can't recognize the email address, it will give you that error. But what you do is you go into Tag Manager. You can set up a variable to automatically look for a piece of text with the at symbol in it. So it knows that that's an email address. So Google have put it really easy for you to go in and turn these things on. If you still get errors, then it might get a little bit more complicated because then you might have to reach out to the developers to then understand what's in the data layer to then pull that information manually. But 9 times out of 10, Google's made it really easy for you to turn that on both in GA4 and in Google Ads. So yeah.
Because it's in their interest to get that data. Because then they can do a better job for us and then we spend more money with them.
Exactly that. Yeah, it's just, you've got it.
Simple as that. You said we should get onto first party data. So Google's obviously pushing for it because they're talking about enhanced conversions. And so we should be providing it back to them via those channels. Is there anything else we should be doing around first party data or user provided data to make our Google ads perform better? Is there more data we should be collecting, more ways we should be feeding it back to Google? What's your advice around this?
I think my advice here is to collect data wherever you can on your website. If the user or, I guess, the customer is happy to provide that information to you, then you should welcome it with open arms. Things like newsletter signups or signing up to log in and not necessarily purchase. You know, if someone is on a chatbot, for example, and they're providing information in that, if you can pull that information out, as long as you've explained that this is going to be used or it's part of your privacy policy, I think it's really important to have that information because you can start to build audiences and you can, like I said earlier, it's bad data equals bad everything. But on the flip side, good data equals good everything. If you can feed everything into it, it will just allow your ads to go that little bit further. And this is data that only you own. So you get that competitive edge to your competitor because this is someone on your website willing to give you their information. No one else really is going to have that unless they're signing up on all different websites. But utilize it, put it into an audience, put it into your CRM, feed that back into Google Ads. So it allows Google's algorithm to know where to put your budget and what campaigns are working. It's very powerful at the moment, first party data.
And it feels like this is the beginning. Like, I feel like we've talked a lot about first party data for a couple of years, but I feel like at the moment the tools are set up to and make it relatively straightforward to provide the first party data to them. And therefore the business case for getting granular about our first party data and understanding where it goes is really solidifying at the moment. And this is clearly a scenario that's only going to get more and more important as we go on. And it's what you were just saying then reminds me of what we talked about in the previous episode, episode 227, with our GDPR specialist, where we were talking about the importance of mapping out where all the data goes, what data are we collecting and where does it go? So clearly any of you planning on undertaking that project should be adding, and what can we feed to Google and Facebook and another ad platform? And how do we do that and automate it to improve all of those things? Is that a process you found a lot of people going through at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. Because we're suggesting that this is something that they need to do, but then it opens up the bigger conversation of, well, what other data can we bring in? Shopify is a great example for it because it collects so much information that we can use that, and it connects quite easily into things like, Merchant Center and Google Ads and that kind of thing. It's a really good opportunity to sort of take a step back and go, what does my infrastructure look like? How am I getting this data in? Is it being used correctly? And if you look at privacy with Google, you know, Google are taking that very seriously at the moment because they kind of have to. I think Apple have been doing it for years. Meta have got the conversion API, so they're eventually going to be removing the pixel from Meta. And Google, their whole business is built, as I said earlier, their whole business is built around third-party cookies and Google Ads, and no one has the power that Google Ads has, you know, not even poor old Bing, bless them. They don't have the same platform as Google Ads. So it was always going to be really ambitious to remove the third-party cookie, which is hence why the U-turn has happened. But people are just starting to realize, actually, how can I get that competitive? How can I use the data that I've got that's been given to me, but then also allow Google to work for them a lot harder and a lot smarter as well?
It's been kind of fascinating. I studied as a historian originally, and sometimes my historian brain clicks in, and my historian brain would love to study in about 10 years' time the different big Leviathan tech companies' reaction to the privacy politics and how they've gone about dealing with it. You know, the Apple impact, the Meta impact, the Google impact, and then dare we say it, what ByteDance and TikTok have ended up doing. And it's kind of fascinating. Completely not useful at all to all of you listening, so I'm not going to go down there for too long. I think if we can all get to grips with understanding and controlling and optimizing our first party data and where we put it, and understanding that's a hugely important part of building performance, then our analytics data becomes more accurate. And as you were saying earlier, and I'm going to misquote you on purpose because I prefer this phrase basically, but it's like that whole garbage in, garbage out thing.
Yeah.
If we're feeding all the right data to the algorithms can do a good job for us. And if we're not feeding it, then it's our own fault. We're not performing better, basically.
Exactly. And we're in a world now where AI is a major part of pretty much everything. And it's been in Google Ads for years. Google optimized the ads using the algorithm, and it's just been sitting there almost like a sleeping giant. And now AI is such a thing. It's about what we feed it and to make it work for us. AI is not going to take over. We need to work with it to understand how to make it best work for us.
Oh, so true. Okay, Ian, the audience are hearing this for the first time in late October. Black Friday's bearing down on us. Christmas is in full swing. Obviously, implementing this stuff and doing a better job of implementing this stuff improves the ROI on our ads. And obviously, we're all trying to do more profit, do more with less, and all the rest of it at the moment. Is there anything that it's worth taking half a day to get sorted out right now in October if you're a business that has a massive peak? Or is this best left till the 1st of January? Or not the 1st of January, 2nd of January, maybe?
Biggest bit of advice I give straight away to do today is to make sure that your cookie banner is working, because if you want to use first-party data, which I suggest that you do, and it gives you that competitive advantage, you don't want to have a cookie banner that isn't working. We've seen before where Google have scanned websites and found that the cookie banner isn't working as it should do. And then we've received emails from Google to say, your cookie banner isn't fit for purpose. You've got 28 days, otherwise we'll pause your account. And, you know, Google going to that point where they're saying, we don't care how much you're spending, we will pause your account. This is why Google's privacy is so important at the moment. If you're collecting all this really good data and you're feeding it, but your cookie banner doesn't work, you could not only be in trouble with Google, but also in trouble with people on your website if they don't want to be tracked, but your cookie banner isn't doing that. I think it's really important to time when you do that, because if you change it, and say it was never working previously, and then all of a sudden you go in and now change it, the data you'll see in GA4 will change dramatically, because now all of a sudden your cookie banner is fit for purpose. So you might see an increase of not set or unassigned, and it's going to change rapidly. So don't do it just before your Black Friday weekend, because the data will be very misaligned to last year. But pick a day, pick a week where you know that you can build up to it, make those changes, test it, and then you'll get in the best possible position to hit peak. I wouldn't wait though. Like I wouldn't just wait until the new year, for example. I think it needs to be done really quickly, and you need to be in the best, because your competitor's going to do it, and they're going to be collecting that data, and they're going to be performing way better than you. So get it done as soon as possible is my advice.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Ian. It's been great getting to pick your brains about the ads perspective on all the cookie changes. So thank you so much for being here to do that. Listeners, though, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Ian's insider tips on all of this and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your businesses. Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Amerce fixes this in just one click. The Amerce first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Amerce installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install, and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE. Okay, and so far we've gone deep into the ads side of cookies, consent mode, enhanced conversions, and all the rest of it. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of analytics, attribution, privacy, all that good data stuff. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with that, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. Ian, are you ready for the insider tips?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
This is a really good question. So I think the best thing that they need to do if they're running ads is just to understand, get your head around the different settings and things that are in Google Ads that will help you. Yes, if you have an agency, they're going to know these different settings. They're going to know what to turn on and what to turn off. But if you know, as a marketeer or a marketing director, if you know what they do, then you can go in and understand why they're turned on and what the strategy is. And if they're not turned on, then you have that power to ask your paid media exec or someone to go, why is this not turned on? We need this information in there. It just gives you that more ammunition to understand why Google Ads is set up the way it is. I'm doing a talk in October later on, and basically it's around first-party data and AI within Google Ads. And essentially with that, I've got a slide where I've got the inside of a cockpit of a plane with loads of buttons everywhere, and I've sort of compared that to GA4 and Google Ads. And the reason why I've done that is because it is confusing to some people that don't use it, but actually when you look at it, every button in that cockpit does something that needs to make that plane work. And that's exactly the same with GA4 and Google Ads. Every setting, everything in there is there for a reason. So if you can just understand from a high level what it is or what it does, or even just ask that question to your paid media agency, you will then start to understand the strategy behind it. So I think as a newbie, just try and get as much information as you can, I'd say.
One of the things that definitely hasn't changed on Google Ads in the last 10 years, the complexity of the settings and the crucial need to actually understand them. I love that answer. Thank you, Ian. Now, once, of course, you've started, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
I keep going back to the cookie banner only because it's so important. We talk at launch about cookie compliance being the core of everything. If you get that right, then you know that the data you're collecting is 100%. So one thing to keep doing with that, once you've got your cookie banner running and you're happy with it, is set a regular scan up to make sure that you're scanning new cookies, because we've seen before where clients have said, you know, the cookie banner's working, all the cookies are categorized and everything's working as it should. Then they go and add Hotjar to the website, which then is another set of cookies, and then the cookie banner didn't pick it up and the cookie just drops anyway because it's not categorized. So next thing you know, now they're non-compliant because Hotjar's recording everything, even though a user has declined cookies. So put in regular scans and make sure that you know what cookies are on your website, so you understand that if something new is coming in, is it a third-party cookie? Does it need to be scanned? Does it need to be categorized? It just keeps you on top of things. And in the same sense, it's understanding the data that you're seeing. One really cool tip for GA4 is anomaly detection. We use it quite a bit. It can be a little bit funny because GA4 takes a couple of sort of 24 hours, 72 hours to actually sometimes attribute correctly. But overall, it does give you an insight of actually there's something's changed here, or there's been an anomaly. So an increase in unassigned traffic would be really important to keep an eye on, because especially if you're making changes to cookie banners. So it's always to keep optimizing, just keep on top of the data that you're collecting. And then the rest is behind the scenes for Google, that they'll know what to do with it.
I love that point about running a scan in particular, because I think it's so easy to go, well, we're not going to change our cookies, it's fine. And when we change our cookies, of course we'll remember we need to update our cookie banner.
Yeah.
And then no. And then the first time you realize it's gone wrong is when something bad happens, like all your ads fall off a cliff or something like that. So doing a scan, literally, is that go into whatever cookie tool we're using, hit a button and it will do a scan on a regular basis. So then we just need a monday.com or an Asana reminder to tell us once a month to go and run our cookie piece?
So the ones that I use should have it automatically running, and you can set how regular you want it. So let's take OneTrust, for example. You can go into OneTrust, set the cookie scan once a month, and then you'll get an email to say the cookies have been rescanned, and it will list if they spotted any new ones. So you don't even have to put anything into Asana or monday.com. You should get that email to say, yeah, we've completed your scan and here's some new cookies, if that is the case.
Nice. So that's like a monthly or a weekly little happy dance that everything's okay. We don't have to care about cookies this week. Okay. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
I've got two, actually. So Think Google is really good on YouTube. There's loads of resources. As I mentioned earlier, I went to Think Measurement, the conference back in March. So there's a whole Think Measurement piece in YouTube. It's YouTube, so you can subscribe to it, and the videos are really good, really clear, and it's coming directly from Google. So if you've got any questions about anything, that's the first place to go to. But also myself and my team have created a couple of resources on our website, so please visit launchonline.co.uk. there's a resources button, and then there's some white papers there that would be talking around attribution and measurement. So feel free to have a look at them as well.
Very nice. Thank you for those. I'm loving those recommendations. I like the fact we've got a written and a video option. Ticking all the boxes there. Okay, finally, it's crystal ball time. Ian, what's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
So the death of the third-party cookie was going to be the major thing, but now that's U-turned, that doesn't mean that it's going away. So one of the things that Google were going to do to combat this was introduce something called the privacy sandbox, which allowed Google to understand users and put them into different cohorts, let's call them, different audiences, completely cookielessly. And it was an open platform that people could plug into and understand. It never really took off, obviously, because they tested the death of the third-party cookie. I think they tested 1% of all Chrome users. And it turned out that advertisers were, on average, going to be losing up to 50% of their revenue. So this is why they removed, and that is from an article on eConsultancy. So find me on LinkedIn and I'll share the article with you, because it was fascinating to understand why they made that change. So they obviously tested it, realized it's not going to work massively, so they brought it back. So what's happening in the future, I think there's more privacy from Google. It's the privacy sandbox. It's trying to understand that the data that they collect is consentful. They're also bringing in new ways to accept cookies. I think word on the horizon is that it's going to be at browser level rather than website level. So something to look out for. But again, that's not, you know, that's not set in stone at the moment. It's just things that have been circulating in the industry. And as I said before, first party data is absolutely key. If you can collect that as much as you can, it puts you in a much better position for the platform.
Brilliant advice. Love those pieces of crystal ball. Ian, we're very nearly at the end of the show. So could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business if they want to get in touch?
Yeah. So I work for Launch Online. Please visit launchonline.co.uk. I'm also on LinkedIn at Ian Lewis Analytics. And yeah, feel free to reach out if you have any questions and visit our website and get in contact if there's anything I can help you with at all.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Ian. It's been brilliant having you on the Keep Optimizing podcast. So thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thank you. It's been great. Cheers.
So there we go. Back to first party cookies again. You definitely want to get those sorted out. Have a listen to episode 225 we did with Yiqi, which was three episodes ago, where she's talking about a first party cookie distribution tool that was very cool. And obviously in the previous episode 227, we were talking with Siobhan all about getting your data in order. So a lot of what she was talking about would help you with what Ian was talking about here. But love the clarity really around what Ian was saying. We have got to get consent mode v2 sorted if you haven't already. You've got to have your cookie banner working. It can't just be one of those ones where you think it's working, but it just pops up and nothing actually happens. It's got to be fully integrated. It's got to be up to date. Otherwise, you're going to start seeing penalties amongst your ad activity and your analytics activity. And then the enhanced conversions. For some of you, if you haven't already got that turned on, it sounds like that's going to be pretty easy. Turn it on. It will tell you if there's any errors. If not, you've got some more work to do. And then capturing that first party data, but the right first party data, not just data for the sake of data. You can get the links to all those things we discussed, the transcript and our take on the notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short links. That's keepopt.com/ the number of this episode, put that in the URL bar and you'll go straight to the right page. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the things we share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you want more on Google Ads, then go to keepopt.com/Google Ads. And if you want more on attribution, keepopt.com/attribution. See the theme? Yeah, those links will take you through to a page on the website that lists all our episodes about those topics. And our whole set of episodes about the confusing world of attribution, analytics, privacy and cookies is now live. So please do have a listen to all of them. You can just scroll up your podcast feed to find those. And our next masterclass topic is content marketing. So make sure you tune in next Wednesday to catch that. And make sure you're subscribed to us or following us on your favorite podcast player so you don't miss out. And if you know someone who's particularly interested in sorting out their cookies, privacy, etc., or content marketing, please do let them know we're covering it all. If this show exists to help not just you, but them as well, improve your marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Join top brands to gain 60% more tracked customer profiles and a 40% revenue boost in Klaviyo, Meta and Google Ads. Sign up for a 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE.